Today's message is called, It's All About Believing. It's all about believing. I come back to this theme again and again and again. You might notice this. And it's because it really is all about believing. I mean, that's the root of it. That's the whole point of it. And we've got to keep doing a little gut check and seeing, what am I believing in? And we got to periodically just check and see, how far along have I come? And I'm not saying that we've got to criticize ourselves or get hard on ourselves and beat ourselves up if you feel like you haven't grown enough or believing enough. We just got to check and see, where am I on the believing scale? You know, okay, I'm a 2 only out of 10. Okay, I need to move it along a little bit just so we can know if I get up to 10, greater things are going to happen. And in this believing, I want you to kind of do a little gut check today and just seeing where your believing is. At what level is your believing? Because let's read here in Mark chapter 9 and verse 22. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. It's all about believing. If you can believe, all things are possible. If we can believe what God said, what God promised, all things are possible. We can do all things. Well, I was wondering, how can we kind of judge or assess where I am or where you are in terms of your believing? And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, oh, wow, you know, a good question came to me. Do you believe God's got more power than that disease? That disease that the doctor said is incurable. Do you believe that God's got more power, or you do believe the disease has got more power? This is a good thing you can ask yourself. Throughout life, you can go to different situations and you can ask yourself this question, because you're going to be faced with it. You're going to come to a point where you're standing somewhere or somebody has said something, and then you're going to go, you can say, oh, the doctor's just come in and gave your friend a diagnosis that they're not going to make it. And at that moment right there, you can ask yourself the question, do I believe that that disease has more power, or do I believe that God has more power? What do I believe? At that moment right there, because that's going to test and shake you to the core to see what you really believe. Now, if you believe that God's got more power, you will not be moved or shaken by what the doctor has said. You will know that my God has more power than this disease. Amen. And you won't be moved by it. But it's a good way to kind of check and see, how am I doing in terms of believing? Because Jesus said all things are possible to him who believe in God, who believe in the power of God, believing that we've got a great God, the best God, the highest God, the only God, the top God. When we can believe that he's got that kind of power to change, to heal, to transform, when we can believe he's got that kind of power totally and completely, then we will have it. Then we will have victory over whatever it is that comes against us. But at that moment, if your answer is, I believe this disease has more power than God, and you will know by your reaction. If you fall down thinking, oh my goodness, I lost my friend, that's it, she's gone, this is sad, you'll know where your power, where your belief is. You'll know that you believe more than that in that disease or what that doctor said. It's a great way to test and see as you go through life. Do you believe in God more than you believe in the diagnosis from the doctor? That's a good question, because sometimes people, they believe more what the doctor has said than what God has said. It tests our believing. It's a good way to check it out and see, do I believe what the doctor says more than I believe what God says? There's a lot of people in the world that would say, no, I don't, but they do. They believe more the doctor than they believe God. We've got to grow our believing so that it's unshakable and that we believe what God has said over everything, over all things. We believe God more than anything else, no matter what it is. Do you believe in God more than you believe in your enemy? We hear stories and reports how people are out there and they're persecuting Christians, they're beheading them, they're killing them, they're shooting them. We hear stories about how there's people out there who hate the West. We hear stories about people who don't like America because we're prospering. We hear all kinds of stories, and you start to think about how many people out there are our enemies. And it's easy to start to think, get afraid. And if you're getting afraid over that, then we can ask yourself the question, do I believe that God is greater or more powerful than my enemy? Do I believe that God has more power than my enemy? What's your answer? Think about that for a second. What's your answer? Because if you've been getting afraid that something's going to happen because you've been watching all this news and you're thinking, oh, it's getting pretty bad, something's going to happen, then you're starting to believe that the enemy has more power than God. Then we know where your belief is. But we need us to be believing and knowing that God has more power. That God has more power than it doesn't matter how many enemies there are. In Bible study, we've been doing the story of Gideon. And Gideon goes out to fight against the Midianites. And God decides to send with him just 300 men. So it's Gideon and 300 men against the Midianites, they describe them as being like locusts. They describe them as being like numerous as the sand by the sea. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of them. And Gideon's got himself and 300 guys. But why does he prevail? Because he believes that his God has more power than his enemy. Amen. It doesn't matter how many there are. It doesn't matter how many weapons they've got. It doesn't matter what kind of technology they got. It doesn't matter what kind of leaders they've got. It doesn't matter what kind of strategy they got. It doesn't matter how it looks like everything is going against you. It doesn't matter. If you believe that God's got more power than your enemy, then all things are possible. And you will prosper. Just as Gideon prevailed over his enemy, you will prevail. In our life, we can ask this question again and again to check out and see, where's my believing? Because sometimes in our life, we give something else more power than God. Sometimes we begin to worry about something and we put more focus on that and more believing in that than we do in God. And now we know where our attention shifts. And it can happen to us. It can trip us up and trick us. So I'm just saying this. So this is a great question for you to start asking yourself as you go different places in your life. Start to ask, do I believe God has more power? Or do I believe this mechanic at the shop has more power? Sometimes you'll think, the mechanic's going to do something to my car. I believe God's got more power to protect your car. You see? You can ask this question again and again. Where's my believing? It starts to shift your attention. It starts to shift your awareness. And if your believing is not 100% with God, it allows you, it gives you the opportunity to begin to shift it and put it over there. Learn more about God. Strengthen your faith. Listen to this down here. This is in Luke. And this is Jesus and the disciples. And Jesus and the disciples, he has gotten into a boat and he says, let's go to the other side. He goes to take a nap. And meanwhile, they set out to sail across to the other side. And as they're going, a storm comes. Pretty soon, this storm is raging and water is filling the boat. And the boat's being tossed and turned. And Jesus is sleeping. And the disciples are standing there watching the boat fill with water, and the wind is blowing and the waves are getting higher and it's getting crazy. And they walk up, they come and they wake Jesus up. Wake up! And here's what they say. And so he had fallen asleep and a windstorm came up, and they came to him and they awoke him saying, Master, Master, we are perishing! And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. But he said to the disciples, where is your faith? Where is your faith? In other words, they believed the power of the storm more than they believed in God. Their believing was in the storm, not in God. They believed when they saw the wind and the waves and the water and the boat being tossed, they believed that that had power over them, the power to bring death. Then they believed that God had the power to bring life, protection, saving you from all situations and circumstances. The disciples' believing was in the storm. And Jesus says, where is your faith? Because when I'm talking about believing, I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about, where's your faith? What are you believing in? It's an interesting question. You might not have thought of that way. You might be thinking, well, no, the disciples believed in Jesus. They were following him. But at that moment, we get to see where is their believing. Because we can all proclaim when it's sunny outside like it is today, and everything's calm, and you're listening to me carry on about wonderful things. You can say, yeah, no, I believe in God. But when the chips are down, and there's pressure and stress going on in your life, you know, that's when you really get to see where is your faith. Where is your faith? When he says, where is your faith, is he saying they don't have any faith? Or is he asking them, what are you believing in? I always used to read that as, they don't have any faith. Like, where is their faith? They lost it. They should have faith. But as I read it today and I say, where is their faith? I'm thinking he could have been asking them, what are you believing in? And the answer would have been, uh-oh, we've been believing in the storm, Jesus. We've been believing in the wind and the waves. We've been believing in the power of nature to snuff us out. We're going to perish. Where is your faith takes on a different meaning as I read this story today versus what it did yesterday when I read it. Because God is revealing something different. More. And he's saying, where is your faith? It's a good question for them. It's the same question I'm saying to you today. Where is your faith? I'm not saying you don't have any faith. I'm saying, what are you putting your faith in? Where's my faith? Ooh, my faith is in the power of the storm. Oh, my faith is in the power of the bills that are sitting on my desk that are saying, I'm going to perish because I don't have enough to pay them. Or is my faith in God, knowing that he provides all my needs? My faith is in my God, who says he can provide all things. So I'm not worried about those bills. Where is your faith? Interesting question, isn't it? I always thought it, like I said, I always thought it was like, where's your faith? They must have lost it. They misplaced it. I don't know where it is. I know it's here somewhere. Did I leave it in my other jacket? No, no. I think he's asking them, where are you putting that faith? They've got the faith. Where are you putting it? Where are you putting that faith? In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, you are of God, little children. I'm talking to you. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, some of you might be sitting there and going, who is in me? Nobody's in me. It's just me. I'm sure it's just me in here. Who is it that's in you? It's God. God is in you. Because when we invite Jesus to come into our heart, he opens the door for the Spirit of God to come upon us, to fill us, to come inside of us. The Spirit of God is the presence of God, the power of God, the ability to work miracles and do incredible things. It's that presence of God now inside of us. The power in us, who is it that's in us? It's God. And we need to believe that he is greater, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Meaning anything that's happening in the world, it doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't matter what it's called, doesn't matter if it's a new trend or a new fad, because people always think something new came along God didn't know about. Uh-oh, this is new. No, no, this wasn't in ancient times. This is a new disease. They never had this back then. Doesn't matter. It's not new to God. He knew about it at the foundation of the world. So we got to know that he who is in us, which is God, the Spirit of God is in us, is greater than he who is in the world. That's a great verse to strengthen your believing. If you're out there in a situation where the pressure is on and you now have to ask yourself the question, where is my faith? Is it in God or is it in this? You know, this can help because it's saying, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It's reminding you, God is greater than all things. God is greater. If I can believe in him, if I can believe that power of God on the inside, then all things are possible. And he's greater than all things. There's something special about believing. I don't know what it is, but I like believing. I would rather be the guy that's optimistic and excited and knowing something good is going to happen when I wake up in the morning. I would rather be the guy that jumps out of bed saying, something good is going to happen today. Because I'm blessed and highly favored. Than be that crotchety old fart who rolls out of bed grumpy, thinking, why am I cursed? Pessimistic, downtrodden, thinking something awful is going to happen to him. I wouldn't want to be that guy living every day. I don't want to be him. Some people might think, well, Ted, you're just a dreamer. Yes, I am. I'm a dreamer. And I'm a believer. And I'm believing for the power of God. And if you're believing for the power of God, it means you're believing for good things. That means you have hope. And that creates optimism. You become optimistic when you have hope. And now you begin to believe for something greater. There was a great story movie called Simon Birch. I've talked about this story a lot. It's interesting because in the movie theaters, when it came out, by all accords that they measure it by in the world, they said that this movie bombed. But I thought it was an incredible hit. It's about a young boy who's a dwarf. And he's deaf, he's hard of hearing, so he wears these hearing aids, and he wears glasses because his eyes are no good, and his health is failing. They never thought he would live past the first night, but he did. His mother and father don't love him, to say the least. They barely put up with him. His pastor and Sunday school teacher know less about God than the average atheist, and they condemn him every chance they get. But little Simon Birch, there's something about this kid because he believes in God. And he believes, in spite of all these other circumstances and conditions, he believes that God has created him for a purpose. He believes that he was put here to do something great. Even though he's small, even though he's sick, I mean, he's wheezing all the time, he can barely breathe. He's got all these physical conditions, and yet he believes. And in spite of it, you know, in spite of the fact that his own pastor and Sunday school teacher are trying to crush his believing, he still believes. In spite of all the things that go against him, he still believes. I think a lot of the critics panned the movie, being too sentimental, too, unreal, I guess, yeah. And really, I think it's just because I can see that they wouldn't believe that. But for me as a believer, I love the story. I love the story of believing against all odds that something good is going to happen. That's the way Simon Birch believed. And then lo and behold, it happened one day. And he did something amazing. And he fulfilled his purpose. I'm not going to tell you what that is, because if I do, it'll ruin the movie when you go to watch it. But he did. He fulfilled his purpose, and he did something amazing. Like he always believed, even though everybody that he told that to thought he was crazy, he believed. Because he believed in God more than the circumstances and the situations. He believed in God more than the people that were saying, no, you won't, no, you can't. He believed in God's power more. He believed that God had more power than any of these other things. It didn't matter who it was. And I believe that that's why he fulfilled his purpose. Because he believed what God had created him for. That he had created him for a purpose. The same way that Joseph in the Bible, Joseph was created for a purpose. And God revealed to him in a dream that his brothers and his mother and his father would all bow down to him. In other words, that he would become somebody great. Joseph believed that. And he continued to believe that in spite of circumstances. When his brothers sold him into slavery, he continued to believe that. When Potiphar's wife lied to Potiphar and put him into jail, Joseph continued to believe that he was going to be somebody great. God showed him. And I believe he continued to believe that. That's why he was promoted in Potiphar's house, because he believed that he was destined for greatness. That's why he was promoted even in the prison. He became the guy that ran the whole place because he believed he was destined for greatness. And even in spite of when he thought that the butler was going to come back and tell Pharaoh about him and he would get released from prison and the guy never came back, he still continued to believe he was destined for greatness. And then came the time, because he was believing. And all things are possible to him who believes. And because he believed that, he went on to be promoted and become the leader of Egypt. Except for Pharaoh. Pharaoh was above him, but he ran everything. He made all the decisions. He did all the work. It happened, I know, because Joseph believed. Where's your faith? What are you believing in? Are you believing in God? Or are you believing in something else? Daniel was somebody who believed more in God's power than the power of lions. He didn't believe in the power of lions' sharp teeth or claws when he was thrown into a lion's den. He believed in the power of his God. He believed God had more power, and as a result of that, he was delivered out of the lion's den. Here in Daniel chapter 6 and 16, it says, "So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions, and the king spoke." Now, listen to what the king says, because I think the king might be a believer too. Listen to this. "But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you.'" King has a little bit of believing. I think it's Nebuchadnezzar here. And he's believing that his God can deliver him too. It goes on down to verse 20, and it says, "And when he came to the den," this is the king. King comes to check on him in the morning. "He cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?'" So it's not 100% believing in God here. He really says, "Yeah, I think your God will deliver you." But at the same time, he comes down in the morning. He's a little bit worried. "Daniel, you okay? Or did the lions get you?" He's waiting to find out. But the good news, here's what Daniel says. "Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you.'" Amen. So Daniel's delivered from the lions. And he's delivered from the lions because he believes in the power of God more than the power of lions. Where's your believing? If you're thrown into a lion's den, ask yourself the question, do I believe in God or do I believe in lions? Where's your believing at that moment? It's a good question. And this is the thing we have to keep looking at here. Moses believed God is greater than Pharaoh. Imagine Moses, he's out there in the desert, and God calls him with the burning bush and says, "You're going to deliver my people out of Egypt." And so Moses goes down. He believes God enough that he goes down and says to Pharaoh, imagine him coming to stand before Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go." He's now talking to the guy who's leading the most powerful nation upon the planet. He's holding a staff. He's wearing sandals. He's got no army behind him. And he is telling this guy to let all these people who are his slaves working for him, let them go. And what happens? This is what happens. He's believing in the power of God more than in the power of Pharaoh. What would you say when you were there? Where are you believing? That's the question. And we want to have our believing in God in all ways. Now listen to this. This is an important one. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." They're talking about God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is." So first of all, we got to believe, if we have faith, and our faith is in God, we got to believe that he is, that he exists. Right? And then we got to start to believe, what is he? That he's powerful, that he has power over all things. So it's impossible to believe, it is impossible to please him without faith. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We have to believe that God will reward those who seek him. If you believe that God is, now you can start to think about, what's God going to do for you if you're a child of God? He's going to reward you. That's when you put your power in God, then you start to have that believing. When you put your power in God, God is a rewarder. If we go down to Matthew 17 and 20, here we see, Jesus said to them, "Because of unbelief." Now what's he talking about here? The disciples again. These poor disciples, they keep getting it again and again. Here the disciples have tried to cast out a spirit, and the spirit wouldn't go. So the Father comes to Jesus and says, they tried to cast out a spirit, but he wouldn't go. "Can you help me?" Jesus casts out the spirit. The disciples came to Jesus later and said, "What happened? Why could we not cast out this spirit, Jesus?" Jesus says to them, "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief." Because of your unbelief. "For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." If you believe, if you have faith, you can say to this mountain, "Move." What's your mountain? Again, where is your faith? Is your faith in God, or is your faith in the lack that you have in your life? If you believe it's in God, then you will prosper, because you can say to the lack, "Move." That's your mountain. You can say, "Move." If it's sickness, you can tell that mountain of sickness, "Move." If it's fear, you can tell that mountain of fear, "Move." But you've got to have the faith in the right place. Where is your faith? It's got to be in God, so that you can put it there. And in Matthew 21, 21, it says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree.'" Let me go back here, because the fig tree, Jesus came to it and he saw there was no fruit on it. And he said, "You will never produce again." And when he said that, the fig tree totally dried up right to the roots. And the disciples were standing there in awe because they just saw this tree shrivel up right before their eyes. And they said, "Wow, what happened? That was amazing. And this is what he says to them. He says, and Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive them.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's all about believing. It's all about believing. I want you guys to go out there into your life and examine and look, though, when you get into certain situations, if you find fear trying to overtake you, ask yourself the question, am I believing in that fear or the situation that's bringing fear? Or am I believing in God? Where is my believing? Where is my faith? And when we ask that question, we can move it. We have the choice. We can move our faith. If our faith is in the fear, just move it over back to God. Start to believe in Him. Because if you're believing in Him, He's a rewarder. He will reward you with setting you free from the sickness, setting you free from the lack, setting you free from the fear, setting you free from all things. That is what God wants to do for you in all ways. Say amen to that.
Amen.
God wants to bless you. He wants you to be above and not below. He wants to promote you every chance that He gets. He wants you to be a leader. He wants you to grow in incredible ways. He wants you to reach the highest heights possible because that was His plan for you all along. And all He needs for you to do is believe in that plan. Believe in Him. Believe that He is and that He is a rewarder and that He will take you to the top. Say amen to that.
Amen.